Good morning. We're glad you're here this morning. If you're our guest, we're especially glad that you've chosen to work with us. My name is Susan Burnett, and about 25 years ago, I started attending Greystone, such a warm and welcoming church all those years ago. It can be difficult in this season of social distancing and virtual worship to connect with a new faith community. So if you're looking to connect, please visit with us online at www.greystonechurch.org or on Facebook or Instagram. Send us an email or direct message. We would love to get to know you better. Today is a special day in the life of our church because we're celebrating our senior adults. You'll notice that many of our worship leaders are part of that group. We give thanks to our seniors and for the ways they enrich our community of faith. As we prepare to worship today, we ask that God open us to the movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in our communities, and in our whole world.
Would you join me in prayer? Creator God, we acknowledge that you are the author and artist of everything. We enter into your court with praise and thanksgiving. You alone are worthy of our praise. Although we sometimes forget it in our thoughts and actions, your presence is everywhere. There is no place we can go that you are not there. On this day of worship, we ask that you cloak us in your presence, and as we bask in your presence, prepare our hearts for worshiping you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Sisters, will you come and help us? Moses' sister aided him. Will you help the trembling mourners who are struggling hard with sin? Tell them all about the Savior. Tell them that he will be found. Sisters, pray. Love our God supremely. Let us love each other too. Let us love and pray for sinners till our God makes all things new. Christ will call us home to heaven. At his table we'll sit down. Christ will gird himself and serve us with sweet manna all around.
Good morning. I hope that each of you are having a good day and that you've had a good week. This morning, we're going to talk about something that you know about. We're going to talk about rules. There are rules all around us. Your family probably has rules. Maybe a rule of your family is that everybody makes their bed up. Or maybe another rule is that after dinner, everyone takes their plate and puts it in the dishwasher. There are all kinds of rules. When our sons, Brian and Cameron, were growing up, they loved to play board games, And one of the games that they really liked to play was this one. It was Monopoly. Maybe you've played that with your family. Well, each time before we got to play the game, our oldest son, Brian, would say, "We had better go over the rules, because you know if we don't, Cameron may make up rules of his own." You see, he was trying to find a way that he could win sometimes by making up his own rules. And so we would go over the rules and make sure that everyone knew how we were going to play, and we agreed on those. Rules have been around for a very long time. In the Old Testament, God gave 10 rules to Moses. They were called the Ten Commandments. You probably know what they are. One of those was that we should not kill. Another one was that we should honor our fathers and our mothers. And those rules were very important for the people long, long ago knowing how to live. But over time, a group called the Pharisees added to those rules. And the things they added were not necessarily things that God wanted them to add, but they were things that they had added. In today's Bible lesson, we hear the Pharisees coming to Jesus and asking him, "What is the greatest commandment?" You know, I don't think that they really wanted to know what the greatest commandment was, but they might have been trying to trick Jesus into giving them an answer. And do you know what Jesus said? Jesus said the greatest commandment is that you should love the Lord your God with all of who you are, with your mind, with your soul, with your whole being. And that there was a second commandment or rule, and that was that we should love other people just like we love ourselves. So the real rule that we should be following is that we love God with everything that we have, with our mind, with our body, with our soul. And that the second commandment is that we should love others like we love ourselves. We usually take pretty good care of ourselves and want the best for us. And so Jesus is really saying, I want you to want the best for other people too, and to love them with your whole heart, and to do kind things for them, just as you would want other people to do kind things for you. And so what Jesus has said is, those two rules are based on love. Love for God and love for others. Right now, we have some rules that we're all going by. And one of them is to wear a mask when we're around other people. And by doing that, we are showing other people love. We're taking care of ourselves, but we're also keeping other people safe. And so this week, as you're doing things in your house and obeying rules there, remember, Jesus said the two most important rules of all are that you love the Lord God with all of who you are, and that you love others just as you love yourself, and that you show kindness toward them. I hope you all have a great week, and we'll look forward to seeing you later.
What?
segment harsh or heavy, one segment mild and light, one arc of change as suffering, the other arc delight. God give a new
thanksgiving and gratitude for your loving kindness to us and to all people in this world. We're grateful that we were created. We're grateful for all creation, for all of the blessings of this life, and for your precious love in the gift of Jesus Christ. Lord, we are so thankful for all of the ways we've been touched by grace this past week. In life's simple pleasures, we celebrate a cup of steaming coffee, a phone call with a friend, a touch of grace, board games and puzzles, laughter over silly things, neighborhood sunset walks, a touch of grace. Thank you for the beauty of the earth and the glorious change of seasons, crunching leaves, and acorns on the path as we walk, cool breezes bringing familiar seasonal scents like wood burning in fire pits, and freshly harvested apples gently boiling in a pot on the stove, turning into applesauce, all send us the message that it is fall in North Carolina. A great blessing, a touch of grace. During this time, we pray that we will never again take for granted the opportunity to worship side by side. A handshake with a stranger, a hug with a friend, a boring day, a touch of grace. As grateful as we are, Father, we recognize that life in places all around the world and here at home is also troubled. And in these troubled times, God, hear this, our prayer. We are living in a broken world, Father, a world that seems to have lost its way, a world where there are storms brewing all around us, storms that are causing us increased anxiety and uneasiness, creating spirits of storms in our very souls. There is the storm of COVID. Each day we wait for better news and a new plan for helping us keep our families and homes safe from the wicked virus that just won't be outsmarted and made to vanish. Throughout the world, mothers and fathers, children and grandparents await better news concerning the same virus. And within us, there is rising anxiety. We seem to be deeply troubled people, Father, and so there is the storm of divisions. Having divisions among all those we are to love, serve, and among whom we are to seek justice. Divisions that occasionally turn violent, and our hearts are broken at the loss of the life of one of your children. So many throughout this world also seem divided and at war with one another, either through words or through weapons, and we are increasingly uneasy. Our government, once mostly dependable, sometimes helpful, and generally seeking our welfare, is often no longer these things, and at times seems to be a threat to the people and to the world you lovingly created. The election that happened so soon has created a certain uneasiness among your people and a distrust that makes us feel weak and uneasy. The division of loss. We yearn to be once again the church gathered in the sanctuary, but are at the same time so grateful for the magic of technology that allows us to gather virtually in groups large and small and to provide a worship service each week. As the church scattered, we are grateful that you're leading us to find new opportunities to reach people with the good news of Jesus' love, redemption for each of us, and the hope of glory to come. Scattered or gathered, we remain yours. God of this world, we come to you this morning seeking your blessings that will bring us through these stormy times. Strength, wisdom, creativity, and courage for the days to come. In your presence, in prayer and quiet contemplation, we will find the peace we seek and see our way through to better days. We pray for courage to be the people you have called us to be, people who seek justice and peace through your love for all your people. Our problems are not insurmountable. Surely we humans must test your patience, but we know that your love is all-encompassing, love without end, always forgiving. Keep watch, dear Lord, with those who work or watch or wait today. Tend the sick, Lord Christ. Give rest to the weary. Bless the dying, soothe the suffering. Help us to never forget that you have blessed us to be a blessing to others through Jesus the Christ, in whom we pray. Amen.
The scripture reading today is from Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 46. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them this question, What do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. He said to them, how is it then that David, by the Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet? If David thus calls him Lord, how can he be his son? No one was able to give him an answer, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We live in a world that much prefers answers to questions. See, answers, they calm us down. They make us feel safe. And they provide a sense of security. When we can know what to expect, we know how to plan, and we can take all the necessary steps to ensure our success. The desire to find answers to our questions isn't really anything new, and it isn't necessarily a bad thing. Human curiosity has led us to numerous discoveries and inventions over the years, from creation of the wheel to the discovery of penicillin. Questions mark the beginning of some of our greatest advancements and achievements. Years ago, our parents and grandparents, they taught us how to find answers to our questions. Once we knew the question, we could go to the library and find books on whatever subject we were looking up. We'd research and put our notes on note cards that were numbered. We would consult the volumes of printed encyclopedias or seek out primary sources for an interview. And then once all that data was organized, we could analyze it and draw our own conclusions. Yes, it took quite some time, but the process of discovery was filled with excitement and intrigue. The search, in many ways, was more fun than finding the answer. More recently, though, we have become a little spoiled with all the answers that are readily available, either by a few taps on our smartphone or by simply saying the words, "Hey, Alexa," in a room equipped with one of those listening devices in our smart homes. The answers to so many of our questions are available on demand, which means we no longer have to wait, search, and discover things over long periods of time. There's so many good things about this. It certainly is convenient, and I, for one, do love having the ability to simply Google or ask Alexa whenever I want to know something. But I wonder if our affinity for fast answers or facts on demand is hindering our spiritual ability to lean into the unknown. In his letter to the Roman church, Paul writes, "But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." Reminding the early Christians that our faith calls us to wait and to hope for that which we do not yet see, and to trust that God is at work within us and around us all that time. Christians, in other words, should be good at waiting. We should be good at accepting the unknown or the not yet seen, and we should also be good at trusting God to carry us through those difficult seasons of unanswered questions and endless possibilities. But more like the Pharisees in today's gospel reading, we tend to grow anxious when we do not know the answers. We look for certainty to guide us through all of the unknowns that life brings our way. And this season of life, the one that we're in right now, has brought us so many unanswerable questions. When will the pandemic be over? When will the vaccine arrive? Isn't there a treatment that works yet? Why can't the kids just return to school? When can I visit my mother or my grandfather or my loved one? Is now the right time to regather for worship? Will things ever be the same again? And these questions, they're layered on top of all the other unanswerable questions that we've lived with before the pandemic. Will my marriage last? Will my kids be okay? Is my retirement savings going to be enough? Will this treatment plan that I'm on right now, will this work? How am I going to live without her? What's the right choice here? Some days, all of these unknowns, they remain in check. And other times, perhaps more often than not, we feel like we will never again find a piece of solid ground to stand on. In those days, we bring our questions to God, much like the Pharisees brought their questions to Jesus in a lightning round of unending asks. Should I pay my taxes to Caesar? What can we expect about the resurrection? And then today's question, what is the greatest commandment? Bam, 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 one doozy right after the other. You can sort of hear the desperation in the Pharisees' voices through the words on the pages of Scripture. And we can also feel in our gut the exhaustion from Jesus as he responds to question after question. Like an exhausted parent who's just answered 25 unanswerable questions from the mouths of curious children, Jesus tries his best to give an answer that helps the Pharisees understand the law and all the commandments. But they were kind of in the weeds, so to speak, with their legal interpretation, trying to understand with complete accuracy what was required by God and what was not. Where's the line, they want to know? What's the formula for faithful living? What do I have to do to be in God's good graces? And what's really just extra? Tell it to me straight, Jesus. But Jesus' response sounds simple. But it's really, it just adds to the uncertainty of the moment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. They're looking for specific action items, and Jesus gives them a broad, far-reaching call to love. He continues on, saying that on this principle of love hangs all the law and all the prophets, meaning if they wanted more clear-cut instructions on what love looked like, then they needed to go back and read the Torah, reminding them to put God first, to practice hospitality with strangers, to take care of the land on which they lived, and to take time to rest and pause, among other things. And they should also heed the words of the prophets, warning them against economies of oppression, urging them to turn away from their greed and materialism, and reminding them that if they do not care for the poor and the marginalized, the wrath of God will not be long to arrive. This is what love looks like to Jesus. It's broken down in the law and the prophets. Of course, the law was and is a static document, unbending, unchanging as time marches on. And the prophets, well, they spoke to a specific moment, to a specific people. Who are the prophets for our day and age, I wonder? Whose prophetic voices should we hear today? Much like the puzzled Pharisees, we find ourselves asking the same questions. What seems to be most clear in Jesus' words, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Those words, they raise more questions than answers. But who is my neighbor, and how am I to love him? Who are the oppressed, really? And how is love to liberate them? I've messed things up and don't really see what there is to love about me, so I don't know how to love myself. God seems so far away. How am I to love a God like this? Well, I'm going to stop there with the contemporary questions, but the list of unanswerable questions certainly could go on and on, to include perhaps more painful, more personal, or maybe even more spiritual inquiries. What is your unanswerable question? I don't know what you might say about that, but I do know I have a growing list of my own. And when I ask them in the solitude of my own prayer life, I often hear the whisper of the Spirit echo the words, or maybe I should really just say echo the word of Jesus in this very interaction with the questioning Pharisees. It's a short answer, but a poignant one once the same. Love. The 19th century poet Rainer Maria Rilke wrote a letter to a young protege of his, perhaps one who, like the Pharisees, and maybe a little bit like us, was growing weary of all the unanswerable questions. Rilke urges him to live into all of life's questions. Listen to how he says it. Be patient toward all that is unsolved in your heart, and try to love the questions themselves, like locked rooms, and like books that are now written in a very foreign tongue. Do not now seek the answers, which cannot be given you, because you would not be able to live them. And the point is to live everything. Live the questions now. Perhaps you will then, gradually, without noticing it, live along some distant day into the answer. Rilke's words remind us that we too need to be patient toward all that is unsolved in our hearts. That we too need to try to love the questions that awaken us at night, because they might just be leading us down a path toward new life. The Pharisees came to Jesus with a certain set of questions about laws and formulas. They wanted certainty in a world where everything certain seemed to be called into question. And Jesus told them to love. How many of us, too, want something, anything certain in these unprecedented days? How many of us want anything that might assure us that everything's going to be all right? It's just a matter of time. But unlike the simple encoded answers that we might get from Google or Alexa, we find ourselves dumbfounded, crawling back to the feet of Jesus, who still responds with the same words the Pharisees heard at the Jerusalem temple so many years ago. The answer is still love. It may seem nonsensical or impossible, but perhaps if we lean in and live with the possibility that God is simply calling us to love, perhaps then, gradually, without noticing it, the answers to all of those other questions, those smaller questions, will emerge, because love will have changed everything. Perhaps if we could still our minds about those lesser things and trust that Jesus knew what he was talking about, we might begin to love like the greatest commandment calls us to love. To love God with our whole life, whether we're in person, in church, or online. To love our neighbors, whether the pandemic rages on or slowly goes away. To love ourselves, no matter how pleased we are with the reflection we see in the mirror, but to love ourselves because we know that God sees fit to love us just the way we are. Love, in all circumstances, whether or not things return to normal, simply love. 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 Amen.
Well, we've all got our stories with plenty left to tell. We've roamed the hills and valleys, touched heaven and been through hell. Though we try and we try to do you right. We still stumble and we fall, and still you open up our eyes to see your light. It's always shining through in all. Oh Lord, we sometimes can't explain the things we do, but our hearts are restless until they rest in you. So we'll remember what you told us from the start. Just go on and love your crooked neighbor with your crooked heart. With your crooked heart. We know that no one's perfect. We're all broken and we're flawed. But the fissures and the fractures are bound together by God. And though we try and we try to do you right, we still stumble and we fall, and still you open up our eyes to see your light. It's always shining. Lord, we sometimes can't explain the things we do, but our hearts are restless until they rest in you. So we'll remember what you told us from the start. Just go on and love your crooked neighbor with your crooked heart. With your crooked heart. We sometimes can't explain the things we do, but our hearts are restless until they rest in you. So we'll remember what you told us from the start. Just go on and love your crooked neighbor with your crooked heart. With your crooked heart.
We hope you have enjoyed today's worship service featuring a few of our senior adults. Senior Adult Sunday doesn't stop here, though. We are inviting all of our senior adults, those age 65 and older, to stop by the church at lunchtime. The church staff will be in the Sawmill parking lot from noon to 1 p.m. today, October 18th, for our seniors to drive through and pick up a gift from the church. Seniors, please stay in your vehicles for safety, but we invite you to roll down your window to wave to the staff and receive our surprise. Also, please remember that our monthly Leadership Council meeting will be held as a Zoom meeting today at 4 p.m. For the Zoom meeting ID, call-in number, and passcode, please refer to your weekly email from the church office. Remember, even though the Leadership Council is generally comprised of committee and team chairs, the meetings are open to the entire congregation. Please join us as we gather virtually to discuss the work of the church. And finally, youth group will meet at 5 p.m. tonight, and youth choir will meet at 7 p.m. Both meetings will take place via Zoom this week, and codes for the meetings can be found in the Youth Happenings email and on your Remind app.
As you leave this time of worship and return to your lives, receive this benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May God's presence always be alive within you, giving you the grace to never sell yourself short, grace to risk something big for something good, and grace to remember that the world is now too dangerous for anything but truth, and too small for anything but love. So may God take your feet and walk with them. May God take your hands and heal through them. And may God take your hearts and set them on fire. Amen.